Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of B Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Are you glad to be here? Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I'm going to just minister the word, and I believe that God is giving a bit of a different word, and when we were preparing for Pentecost, and that what God wants to say. But I believe really this is a season where God wants to work in godliness and character. We all want the fire, isn't it? We all want the power, and we want God to move. But it's as if there's a thing that presses on my heart. The youth and the guys can just go out with Pierre, and he'll meet you up there at the youth building. And I just pardon, there's some loose connection in the light, so it's going to come. Sometimes it dims and brights or it flickers a bit, so apologies for that. But don't get distracted. You are the most sophisticated crowd that we're speaking this morning to. Amen? So you can focus. Amen? A couple of you. All right, let's just focus, everybody. You can focus. Amen? All right, and what I sense is that God is really working on character, and that God wants to produce something. And it's nothing wrong for pursuing the fire and the power and the move of God. But my question is do we have a moment in God's presence and it's then just the power and it was so great. But what is the result and the lasting effect of that in your life? Is there really fruit in your life after this? Or was it just a moment and we actually go into performance mode and look, God touched me and we're shaking and all these things. But no transformation takes place. There's no real shift in our life, is it? And God wants to pursue you because he wants to produce godliness and character within us to be a testimony and to be a witness so that he may be glorified. I want to remind us again, just what is this all about? It is about Jesus. It's about him. It's the eyes that needs to be fixed on him and where he wants to go. If it's a problem, we can just switch it off and then we'll just... You can't switch it off. We'll just pull the plug on it if it needs to be. All right? So God wants to do something, and I want to speak on certain things. Let's go to the book of Acts 2, and I want to focus on something specific. As I started preparing, there's so much that came up, and I realized we can't go through everything in one morning. All right? So we're going to break it down in sessions, but I want to speak again on the echo of heaven a bit, and that would be started on the podcast for those who saw Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we've got something spectacular happening here. We've got an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and people are amazed. They actually say, these guys are drunk. Something is out of place. You know, this is not the norm. And Peter comes, verse 14, stands up and says that, lifted up his voice, standing with the other 11. It says, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give ear to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon my name of the Lord, or upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. The focus immediately is about salvation. Not just the power, it was an explanation of the power, but it was drawn to salvation. And an interesting that Paul or Peter describes the prophecy of Joel, and he starts preaching. That prophecy was given 880 years before Christ, 880 BC. And he says, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. And when I heard those three words, it immediately took me to the book of Exodus, of blood, fire, and smoke that appeared on the mountain. Blood, there was Passover first, and they had to go from Egypt out of that with Passover. The fire of God appeared, and the smoke, the glory came. And there's a progression. So he prophesied something about the outpouring and the move of the Spirit and Pentecost. So we'll unpack some of those over the weeks that's to come, because we can't deal with it to just today. It's too deep. There's too much. But this is the thing. What does Acts 1:8 says? And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness. Come on. So what's the very first assignment and job and characteristic when the Spirit comes upon you? To be a witness. Not to shake, not to do all these things. There's the power of God that touches us, but it's to be a witness. You see, so the Feast of Pentecost was instituted at Mount Sinai right after God gave the law. And just see it, what happens. When God gives the law, remember, Moses goes up into the mountain in the cloud of glory 40 days. And the people, what do? They have to wait for Moses, but they get tired of waiting. And what do? They built the golden calf, start worshiping idols again. And when Moses comes down with the law, and where God actually comes and gives the law and institutes Pentecost, he says this is actually becoming one, because Pentecost is becoming one. It's a marriage. It's becoming one with God. And he comes down, and they're worshiping another God. And the very first thing is, there shall be no other gods before me, you know, before you. What happens? Because they got tired of waiting, it says that 3,000 was killed that day. Swallowed up. Didn't the earth open and swallowed up 3,000? So 3,000 killed. And what happens? During Pentecost, when the Spirit comes upon them, Peter stands up, he preaches, and immediately the work of the Holy Spirit comes into action, and 3,000 get saved. So there he comes, because they had to wait. And what does God say again? Jesus, when he ascended, he says, go and wait. You see, we don't want to wait. We just want the action. But he says, go and wait for the promise. They wait. Well, Moses is in the glory, and they because they get tired of waiting, they go into sinning. And this time it's rectified, because they've waited, but this time they respond and they obey, and 3,000 is added to the church. So the first characteristic is what is unity, because it says that when they're together in unity, it says when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. The King James says they were all with one accord and in one place. One accord means that you were with one mind, one accord, and with one passion. There was no distractions. They were waiting in unity. And it means they were gathered with the same heart, with the same love, with the same trust in God's promises, same place. They were waiting for something specific. Remember, they were all seeing a resurrected Savior, Christ, who overcome death, resurrected. Now he ascends into heaven, and he says, go and wait for the promise of the Spirit. And Jesus being taken up, you know, he's not with them in the flesh anymore. I can not help but to think that in some way they're a bit of, you know, there's some loneliness, or there's, you know, there's a feeling of emptiness, isn't it? They've dwelt with Jesus, they walked with him, and he dies. They're a bit sad, but as he has promised, he resurrects again, and he's alive, and now he ascends, and he says, now I will not be with you anymore. Go and wait for the promise, the comforter, the helper, the one that I will send, that will be with you always. So in a sense, I can sense this loneliness, this emptiness that, you know, we had a good time with him, but now he's gone. But they're waiting, and this is what we need to understand, that he says, go and wait for the promise. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be filled with the promise. Now, I don't know about you, but it makes sense, Nate, that if something can be filled, it means it's empty. Makes sense, isn't it? So if you only can be filled, it means you're empty. So they become aware of their emptiness, and they wait on the filling. And often for us to be filled, we need to become aware of there's an emptiness, there's a lack, there's something else that only God can fill. There's only a place where God can come. There's a void. And you need to understand that there's more. There's a reality that you need that filling so desperately. And God wants to fill that place. And they did exactly what God said this time by obedience. That time they had to wait and they got tired and they sinned. This time they go, they gather in prayer and they wait for the promise. Because they knew that they didn't have the resources. They didn't have what it takes to just do, because they need the empowerment. They need the Spirit. And he said, I'll now, this time, send you the Parakletos, the helper, the comforter, the one who enables you to do things. And then it says that they were all filled. Come on. Suddenly a sound came from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And we focus on the wind and the rushing and all these things, but it was a sound. And they were all filled with the Spirit. It's not the gift of speaking in tongues. It was the empowerment, the filling of the Spirit, and the fire and the power of God coming upon their lives. The gifts of the Spirit is something else. You see, but we often love to speak in the power of the Spirit, isn't it? To move in the fire of God. We want to move, you know, and we do all these things. And it looks and sounds maybe very spiritual and what else, you know, whatever you can think. But what's the purpose of this? Why do we do this? It says first there had to be unity. Are you in unity with your neighbor? Are you in unity with the church? Are you in unity with God? Are you doing your own thing? Are you in unity? We often want to be filled with the fire and all these things, speaking in tongues, but we don't have character, you know. You can't even bless and unite and speak to English in somebody else. Come on. One amen. I know sometimes they say when you get quiet, it works in you. So I believe that that's what God's doing. But isn't it? How do we want the power of God, but we can't even, you know, bless or be in unity with the one next to you? Because it says when they were together in unity. So if nothing is moving in your life, maybe check your heart. Maybe check where you stand in character. You see, what God wants to do is an everlasting work. And I really feel it in this season that's what he says. Didn't he give a new law and says, love your neighbor? Even love your enemy? You see, so God is not interested in us moving in all this fire and the power and the smoke, but there's nothing that can continue or be everlasting or you know, give you substance. It's not a momentary thing that God wants to give you. It's a godliness. Didn't he say that the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5? The very first thing is love. Love your enemies. Love your neighbor. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, isn't it? Self-control. He's more interested in producing a fruit. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not to just give you power. The main purpose of the Holy Spirit also is to give you godly character and fruit and Christ-likeness and remind you of what he taught. Remind you of his words. Didn't he say that you don't need a teacher because the Holy Spirit will teach you? He will remind you. But we don't want that part, is it? We want the fire and the power and the action. So my call is not that we don't need that. Hear me this morning. My call is this: we cannot just want the fire and the power, but we don't want the other part. Because as the Holy Spirit and his nature is to produce something in us as well. To produce a fruit of godliness and a holiness, purity. Because there's certain things that attracts God. God is attracted by certain things. Come on. There's characteristics of the Holy Spirit. It's not just the fruit of the Spirit, but it's holiness. There's a conviction of sin. There's guidance. There's a empowerment. There's transformation that takes place. Sometimes I get frustrated with my life if there's no movement, if there's no transformation. God will keep on transforming you. Didn't he say from glory to glory, from one image to another? So if you look the same for too long, you've got trouble, man. You need to start changing because it's from glory to glory. Amen? God is attracted to certain things. There's certain things that God loves. Doesn't the Bible say that he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble? God loves those who have clean hands and a pure heart. There's certain things, no matter where you struggle and where you're at, if you have these things, God's attracted to that. That's why even David, when he sinned, God says he's still a man after my own heart. He repented. There was something that attracted God. There's things that attracts God for your life that God says, have these things. And that's what the Spirit produces in us. That's what the Spirit develops in us to have Christ-like nature. Why do they call them Christians? Because Christian means little Christ. It means that I look like the one who saved me. I become like that nature. That's why we are called Christians. Because it's to resemble Christ. Come on, so the Holy Spirit, all these things that give me clean hands and a pure heart and humility, that's the things that the Holy Spirit wants to transform in your life. He wants to transform you into those things. He wants to give you that nature. Do you not have a desire that you are attracting God in your life? I want to know that the attention of God is on me because I do that what's pleasing unto Him. So I want to focus a bit on the sound because that's an important key in our life. The word sound of heaven. From heaven came a sound. So the Greek word for sound is what? Come on, who watched the podcast? Okay, echo. Echo. Sound is the word echo, the Greek word echo. So where did it come from? I just said it. This is like a monkey puzzle, you know. It's just ABC. You can choose. You don't have to guess. Sound of heaven. From heaven came a sound. Come on. There's an echo. So it was an echo from heaven that came down. And echo, the concept of echo is something that's repeated, something that's reverberated to reflect back. And even the word says it's a roar. Come on, you have to find your roar. Amen. So there's a purpose with what God did. This is key to your life. I want to tell you, this is a key for your life this morning. Because the Spirit wants to lead you to fullness. He wants to lead you to effectiveness in the kingdom. He wants to lead you to fruitfulness. And you have an assignment. Amen? Agree with that. You have an assignment. You are not just here to warm the seat. There's a purpose to your life. You have an assignment. And God gave you His Spirit to enable you for your assignment. To give you certain skills and nature and character for your assignment. That what you called for. And we see echo in creation going everywhere. God's word says echoes through eternity, through the generations. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says the grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. There's an echoing of God's word. It continues. It never ends. The universe keeps on expanding. So that what you release is actually continuing. It never stops. Maybe you don't hear it at the moment, but it's still traveling. Have you thought about those things? No. The echo of truth reflects and echoes across the ages. It's still continuing. So nature echoes God's word. Praise and worship, that what we do echoes. Revelation 4:8 says, day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. There's an echo, there's something that goes, that continues, the praises of God. Our actions echo. Come on. Whatever you do, he says, do actually unto the Lord for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10. Whatever you do, do it as if you do it for God, not for man. Let it echo and let it speak. So the Greek word echo means also a report. It says that Luke 4:37 says, the report about Jesus went out into every place in the surrounding region. So just get this picture. What Jesus did started to echo in regions, and that attracted people. So your echo starts to attract. Your echo, that what you do. Because when you follow Christ, there's an echo. There's something that you do, you echo, isn't it? So it describes that Jesus' fame started to spread because like a sound echoing, that report went out. I just imagine this Jesus healing people, doing good, and just hear this echo. Said, did you hear? Did you see? Here's someone that can heal. Did you hear? Can you hear that echo? It goes like, did you hear? And the next one, did you hear? Did you hear? Can you hear that echo? The report of Jesus going out and doing these miracles. And we, as a church, has to have an echo. As a body, as a church, what we do echoes spiritually. Come on.
But do we release the right sound? Are we releasing the echo of heaven? Because that's what I want to speak about, is that we need to reflect. Ephesians 5 says, be imitators of Christ. In other words, have Christ's echo in your life. Be imitators of Christ. So if there's a sound from heaven, there's a pattern that God gives us to echo. There's a sound that we need to echo, and it fills the house and all these things, and it reverberates. It's the divine power suddenly actually of God breaking into the human world, saying that you've lost your sound because Adam had to speak. Let's get there. Going back to the original mandate, what does God do? Genesis 1. He forms Adam, isn't it? 27 and 28, let's just look at that. He says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So here God gives a mandate and says, I formed you in my likeness. I formed you in my image and my character, and you've got everything you need. Now rule and reign, have dominion, multiply, do these things, isn't it? And Adam starts to operate. That's Genesis 1. Genesis 2, we see he actually does what God commands him. It says that Genesis 2, 19 and 20, it says that now out of the ground, the Lord God has formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. So here Adam starts to function. He says that whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the heavens, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So he starts operating. He starts giving names, naming the animals, having dominion. What is a name? I always say a name is a prophetic utterance of character. It describes something. It says your nature. And he says that he called every creature, and whatever he called them, that was his name. So the word call here says this, to call out, to cry out, to proclaim, to utter a loud sound, to call of the name of God, or to call and commission. So when God calls a name, so Adam calls the lion a lion, and he gives actually the name of God and a call and a commission. And a commission is an instruction, isn't it? It's a charge, it's an order, it's an assignment. So whatever he called them, that was the instruction for them. Do you follow me? So he called them, so he gave a godly instruction of nature and character, and he says that whatever he called them, that was its name. The word name there, Genesis 2, 19, says this, the breath of a man's character, it's what makes one what he is. The name of an individual is more than just an identifier, but it's descriptive of his character or breath. And then it means name is also a description. It says, as a designation of God. So he doesn't just commission him. There's a designation from God. So God calls you something. Come on. So there's a godly call and a commissioning and a designation from God over your life. Give one amen. Come on. So heaven has a mandate because when they start speaking, they started releasing the sound from heaven. Doesn't the book of Hebrews says that what we have here on earth is just actually a replica of what's in heaven? Come on. So all the significance of the tables and the showbread and everything in this is just a replica of that what is in heaven. So God says there's some things in heaven that we need to start echoing on earth. That's why when they get the Spirit of God, they start releasing the sound or the echo of heaven, not their own thing. At the Tower of Babel, when they were gathered saying, let's build a name for ourselves, they started with confusion, babbling. Come on. Nothing makes sense and there's a scattering. But when they finally had a place where then unity, focusing on God and what he wants, there's again a speaking, but now they're releasing the sound of heaven. Not a confusion.
And when the world is confused, Peter says, this is what the Spirit says, and there's salvation. Immediately, the work of the Spirit starts to take place. It turns those from the world into Christians. So even if you don't know, what does Romans 8, 26 and 27 says? It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And listen to what he says. He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So even if you don't know, the Spirit within you prays the will of God. He has the sound of heaven. And when you start trusting him, he will release that sound through you. He who searches the hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, now he prays according to God's will. We need to release the sound of heaven. Come on, we have a mandate to echo the sound of heaven. So we've too long focused this on what I want. What satisfies me. What is good for me. Lord, I need more of you, and I need more of this, and I need... Instead of what does God want, he wants you to echo. There can't just be an inflowing, there needs to be an outflow. So this focus this morning is more of the outflow than the inflow. You receive power. How many times more do you want to receive power? But what's flowing out of you? Is there fruit? Because to receive power, there must be transformation. There must be fruit. There must be a development. There must be an outflow that shows that inflow. So you need to receive the Spirit to echo the sound of heaven. Jesus comes, Matthew 6, and he declares it. He says what? When you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Not Howard is thy name. Hallowed be thy name. What does he say? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, Jesus says, there's a pattern in heaven, and your job is to get that pattern from heaven and let it manifest on earth. But how do you make it manifest? How do you make it manifest? It's by you releasing the sound of heaven. You can't just come and say, let it. You have to be the instrument. You have to, as Jesus says, when you pray, our Father, what does the word hallow mean? The Greek word hagiazo means I render, I acknowledge, or I become aware of. It says, when you come to God as a father who is the supplier of everything you need, and you render and you acknowledge, you become aware of him, then you start releasing the sound of heaven into earth. And he will come and make it manifest. Because he's the one who brings the action, the power. You need to be the vessel. You see why we can't just pray, fill me up, come with your power, come with your fire, come with the smoke and the glory. But what does it do if you don't release the sound to change something? Didn't Jesus say, John 6:63, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life? So whenever you speak, you're actually releasing, you're speaking spirit. The words that I've spoken are spirit and life. He says, the words that I've spoken, that word means the sound that I produce have a definite meaning. Your words are not empty. Your words have a definite meaning. I want to show you, who's there at the back? Are we ready for a video? I want to show you quickly a 3-minute video clip of sound, and then I want to speak, and then we're going to end off. And then we're going to pray for people. But my prayer more today is that God will produce a godliness in you than just the sound that's a bubbling and all the wind and the fire and the smoke and all these things, but there's no transformation in your life. So if we can maybe get sound, we just need the sound on, and that video, then after this, we'll continue. I'll just hook onto the video. So thank you, guys. It's beautiful, isn't it? Have you seen this? The higher the frequency, the more complex the structure. That makes perfect sense why women have a higher voice. Amen. Let the Spirit bring revelation. I think we can invite men for prayer now. But what happens is that there's a sound, and each frequency has a pattern or a picture connected to that. And it says that man shall live by the word of his mouth, isn't it? So your life creates a picture. That what you release, your frequency creates a picture. You eat the fruit of what you speak. So do you have a sound of faith or unbelief? Do you have a sound of victory or defeat? Come on. What is the sound that you carry? Because Jericho was taken by a sound. There's certain things. So the Holy Spirit didn't just come to comfort you and to empower you and to give you a voice. He gave you all these things so that you can release the sound of heaven to be filled with the Spirit. There's a mandate. You know what our problem is? Is I look at her picture and I like that picture and I'm trying to release that sound. Where God has given you a sound to create the picture that he has for you. We want the picture and then we're trying to get to that sound. No. Start releasing the sound and start enjoying the picture that God has for that sound. That's what God wants for your life. And this is what I want. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be one. And that's what you need to understand, that as soon as the sound is released, from the chaos there comes structure, there comes order, and there comes a beautiful picture. So if there's chaos in your life, it means that you're not releasing the sound of God. You need to release something so that the structure can come, the picture can come, the order can come. Does it make sense? And that's my, we can put some background worship or music on, and we're not going to be long. But you need to be filled with the Spirit. So I think today, if you cannot pray in tongues or you don't have the baptism of the Spirit, we want to pray for that. That's one focus. But I think we need to come and maybe all of us need to stand in front and say, Lord, we come and repent for pursuing just the fire and the power, but not the godliness and not the Christ-likeness. Not the character and the transformation and that what you actually want to do within us. Maybe we all should stand here, you know. Maybe we all should say, Lord, come and again blow. That what we declared this morning when we sang is blow a fresh wind in us. That even will make us to see the picture of God, that we can actually start releasing the sound of heaven. And become content with the picture. Faithful with little, faithful with much. How can God give you more if you don't even like or start with the basics? You see, first it's to draw people unto him. That's what it says, Christ, to draw all men unto me. That's what Christ says. And we're so occupied, but my life and my worries and what God needs to do here and this. And God says, first I want to have all men drawn unto me. Don't you worry about your family or those members that are not saved, that's lost. Now, do you have a heart of compassion? Because the very first thing is the Spirit wants them also to come into the kingdom. Just close your eyes. Maybe our prayer this morning should be, Lord, show me where I've missed it. Where did I miss it? Because I think we've all missed it. We've become occupied with other things instead of doing just what God says. Maybe you were trying to keep up with the Joneses and therefore you tried to release the sound of your neighbor instead of the sound, the uniqueness that God gave you. And maybe you say, Lord, help me this morning to find my sound that your Spirit wants to give to me. What is the sound of heaven that I need to release? Because God's not just going to show you where you've missed it. He's going to say, here is what I've given you so that you can do what I call you to do. He's not one that just tells you, hey, you've missed it. He's the one that says, here's the right thing. This is what I've put inside of you. This is what I've given you. So Lord, reveal that to us this morning. Because homes are changed, families are changed. Cities are changed when we start releasing the sound of heaven. When we become occupied with who you are instead of what we are not. Forgive us, Father. I want to say you have a beautiful sound. The picture that your life creates is so special. Lord, forgive us for breaking down the picture that you give us, for not honoring God, help us to start loving the small things again. Help us to start loving again holiness and integrity, the truth. I see this picture that sometimes when we look back and we wanted to move in power, that is there really fruit, or maybe there's just so much destruction it looks like a tornado went through. Children of God are led by the Spirit of God. So Father, help us to do what you want to do and not just our own thing. And then let the weight of your presence come. You see, the progression was there. It was the blood and the fire and then the vapor of smoke. There's certain things that they had to fulfill. There was the mikvah and the washing and the purification before God came in His glory. We want the glory of God, but how do we measure up with God's instructions? How do we measure up with God's standard? You see, this is a call back to the reverential fear of God. Because a little bit later on in the book of Acts, we read that when they sold their houses and they withheld money, Peter says, "You didn't lie to us, you lied to God." And the Holy Spirit struck them dead. Do we have an awe and a fear for the Lord? Is that what Paul says in Galatians? He says, "Who have bewitched you that you started in freedom, but now you go back to law." And he says, but when you have freedom, he says, the freedom doesn't qualify or give you over that you can just sin again. We've started to justify so many things because in God there's freedom and God is gracious and He forgives. But hey, there's two sides of one coin when God comes. So my heart is that you take account of your life this morning and say, do I have a balance? Do I pursue Christ-likeness as equally hard as the fire and the power? Or is there a balance that's out in my life that I desire the one more than the other? Come on, let the Spirit work in your heart. We love you, Lord. We're really going to see the outpouring of God and the revival and the move when we as a body get to the same page where there's a balance in our lives, that we equally desire the character and Christ-likeness as the gifts and the power. And then we're going to start seeing, because then it's healthy. Then God can work through you, because then it's about Him. So I want you, last thing, then we're done. You give God your yes in your heart this morning. You say, Lord, that's what I want. I want you to work this in my life. The fruits and the gifts and the Christ-likeness and the character to bring a balance. I want you to give God your yes. We're going to end off. So I want to remind you, you have a sound, and your mandate is to release the sound of heaven, the echo of heaven. Amen. And start getting into the spirit and align yourself so that you can release that sound. And there will not be chaos. There will be purpose and there will be glory. And your picture is going to be beautiful. Amen. We can get our seat ready. We're going to honor the Lord with our giving as well. And as we said, that sound that releases, that's the same. Whenever we speak, we say the seed leaves maybe your hand, but it doesn't leave your life. Amen. Come on. When you sow, we sow a seed, but there's a harvest. How many of you have sowed and then years later the harvest only comes? It happens. So God has got a season and a timing, but this is what God promised. He says, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest. That's, he says, one of the signs of his covenant still with us, is that as you see the sun rises and sets, you know that his covenant is still there. Come on. So if God says this, who of you saw the sun this morning? Anyone? Did you see the sun? Then you need to know that God's covenant stands with you. And then when God ever is said of your life, he still will do. He will declare. But come in unity. Remember, first thing, unity. Come in unity with the Spirit and start releasing the sound of heaven over circumstances and things in your life. Because you cannot have fresh and salt water from one flow. Amen. So Father, thank you for our seat. Thank you for our lives. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to give and to honor you. And Father, you say that you love us and you love a cheerful giver. So Father, we come and we bless the seed. Like the priest who did a wave offering up to you, we come and we lift this up to you and say, be glorified, Lord. Be glorified and be honored. And thank you, Father, that we can speak over the seed to say that it will not return void, but it will come and bring up a fruitful harvest, and will bring a return. And Father, you will come. You say you give seed to the sower and bread for eating. So Father, even seed for sowing, thank you, Lord, that you put bread for us to sustain us and to make us healthy and to live and do our work to glorify you also. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.